What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, guys? Red Nation Hoops Podcast. My name is Saul Monley at Red Nation Hoops on Twitter. I guess we kind of know what Daryl Morey had up his sleeve.
We know part of what he has up his sleeve. Hey, yeah. I'm just excited to talk about this. I want to talk about Daryl Morey's sleeves all the freaking podcast.
Also joined by George Flores at George C. Flores 22 on Twitter. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Just another normal, regular day.
Yeah. You know? Totally regular. Nothing big happened today.
Yeah, not much to see.
I mean, like, this is going to be kind of a dead podcast. Like, there's no content going on. I guess we could talk about the Knicks for a little bit. You know, Phil Jackson did some stuff.
The Rockets made a couple of trades, you know, for Tim Quarterman, DeAndre Liggins, Ryan Kelly. That just came through the wire. So
DeAndre
Liggins. I can't do this bit.
It's Chris Paul, man.
The Rockets have acquired Chris Paul in a blockbuster trade that's sending a top three protected first round pick, Sam Decker, Patrick Beverley, rest in peace, Patrick Beverley, and apparently now it's coming in Montrezl Harrell to the Los Angeles Clippers. It's essentially a sign in trade, although I guess it's technically an opt in trade. Chris Paul opted into his trade, giving up $11 million. We heard reports about this like pretty much all week, that the Rockets were heavily pursuing Chris Paul. It was pretty hard to believe. And last night, it became even more serious when Mark Stein tweeted that the Rockets are a very real threat to land Chris Paul. And they're going to... James Harden and Chris Paul have been talking. And like this is something they wanted to make happen. And it happened. I mean, we might just turn off the center today, guys. I mean, like, we're not, like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Like, I'm genuinely speechless today.
This is why you extend Daryl Morey for 5 years.
Exactly.
Yes. This is why you extend Daryl Morey for 5 years. I mean, this is going to go down as one of those where were you when this happened trades. So I'm going to ask you guys, where were you when this happened?
I was asleep. I wake up at 10 a.m. That's my schedule. So I woke up by my phone buzzing like crazy.
Yeah.
And then in a Blu-ray it has, I was like, what?
Yeah, I actually have the same story. I was in bed and my phone just exploded. And yeah, that was it. And then I immediately stood up, ran around my apartment. So
yeah, I was actually at ESPN 97.5 today. While the show was going on, and I was just kind of like scrolling through my news feed, and I see the Chris Paul trade, and nobody in the station knows about this yet, right? And I just kind of screamed it out, and like the producers on show kind of had to talk about it for the next 20 or 30 minutes, however long was left for the show, and the entire station just lost their shit. I mean, I don't know what else is it. Like, everybody went crazy. You know, stuff. Everybody wanted to figure out what was going on in the deal. You know, obviously Patrick Beverley went out, Sam Decker, 2018 protected first round pick, which is still crazy. Like if the Rockets are like one of the three worst teams in the NBA, they keep that draft pick, which is even more like, crazy.
That's insane that there would be a top three protection. It's super weird, but
why not?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the natural place to start is like, what's your reaction other than holy
I'll let y'all go first because I got some thoughts.
Okay,
they're gonna get weird.
Okay, so my initial reaction was the same. The holy shit. looked at my phone, naturally, I have a bunch of friends texting me like, "What just happened?" And a lot of Spurs fans texting me like, "I thought we were gonna get him." Nope, not happening. And honestly, like a week or so ago, to kind of hedge my bet, I said, "Well, I don't know if the fit's really gonna be all that well, but you try to land a top 10 player anytime you can." But as soon as I saw it, I said, "Nope, I don't care. Trade everybody. We got Chris Paul and James Harden. It's fine."
I mean, like, I'll go ahead and start. I mean, like, my immediate reaction was, like, obviously I wanted to figure out who's in the trade. And when I figured out the Rockets pretty much still have most of their core intact other than Patrick Beverley, I mean, that's what I found even more insane. They didn't give up Clint Capella. They still have Clint Capella. They still have their entire starting lineup other than Patrick Beverley. And they essentially upgraded at that position. And, like, Daryl Morey's just a wizard. I mean, like, what's going on right now is Daryl Morey's going around the league acquiring these contracts to make this deal work. I mean, now we know why the Rockets didn't make a deal on draft night to buy a first-round draft pick. I mean, my phone's going off as we speak. But, I mean, essentially, they had $3.5 million to spend on players and draft picks if they wanted to on draft night. And everybody kind of wondered when the Warriors bought a pick, like, why didn't the Rockets buy a pick? Because this is something the Rockets would totally do if it was available to them, and now we know why. Now we know why the Rockets kept their cash considerations, and now they're moving it around the league, trying to make this deal work, and it's just insane. Like, it's insane.
And now everyone else knows why in Morey we trust.
Yeah, exactly.
So my thoughts when this came through, with, you know, first off, the initial reaction of what in the world is happening here? Holy crap, is this real? Which, you know, it's the NBA, so you're somewhat surprised by these things, but greatness happens in this league even during the offseason. But my thoughts after that started to wander into, well, why Houston? I mean, first off, this explains the Patrick Beverley stuff from a while back that he seemed to know he was getting traded. I would suspect that both teams have known this is going to happen for a bit, or at least the Rockets have, and the Clippers just found out, maybe. But why the Rockets? Because I do think the Spurs were probably a better fit for if you're Chris Paul, right? Like, taking Tony Parker's job is a really good slot in. So, I don't know. I've kind of been putting my conspiracy theory hat on. I'm kind of wondering if this isn't, like, Chris Paul and his little cadre figuring out which team would make sense. Because from the perspective of which team is a good, well-run team that you can kind of take over with you and your buddies and make it your vehicle for ring chasing, that's where the Rockets start to make more sense than the Spurs. You can kind of take over the Rockets over a little while. So, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if we hear a bunch of rumors about the other dudes in Chris Paul's little crew wanting to come over to the Rockets. And, I mean, you're already hearing that with Melo, and then they're starting to pursue Paul George, which I guess we'll get into. But, yeah, this is – I actually am, for the first time, maybe the one who's suspicious that things might be better than expected.
Yeah, it's weird. It's so weird. And yeah, you mentioned, like, the banana boat crew might be coming to Houston. This is like the trade hasn't even gone through yet, and we're already talking about Paul George, LeBron James next year, Carmelo Anthony if he gets bought out. Like, it's like they're free agency hasn't started yet. It's July 28th. Like, I mean, it's June 28th.
June
28th, like,
yeah.
It's, oh, my God. And what I told you when we started off the podcast, like, I told you guys, like, I had no idea what I was going to say. And that's kind of me right now. Like, I'm trying to figure out what I should say. Okay, so basically, the biggest concern going into this was the fit, right? And that's what all Rockets fans, that's what pretty much all national pundits were kind of wondering, like, how is this going to work? How are Chris Paul and James Harden going to fit together? And my thinking was, like, yeah, I was certainly a big skeptic in this. But if the Rockets aren't giving up any of their, newly acquired talent from last offseason, and they're kind of maintaining the same core, they're pretty much only giving up a couple of young assets, intriguing young assets in Sam Decker and Montrezl Harrell, and a first round draft pick. I think it's worth the risk. And honestly, like, I think it could work. Like, and like, I suspect that it will, because these guys wanted to play with each other. And the fact that they wanted to play with each other suggests that they want to make it work. And that's the first step, right? Like, the fact that that's what made me feel a lot better about this. It's not just Daryl Morey's bringing Chris Paul on and James Harden and Chris Paul make it fit. Like, these guys actively recruited Chris Paul together, Daryl Morey and James Harden. And that makes it a lot more, you know, easier to swallow. Like, the idea that they'll try to make it fit. We've certainly seen this in the past before. You know, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, two ball-dominant guys. Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, two ball-dominant guys. We've seen this work in the past. You know, it can work. And honestly, like, if anybody's going to make it work, it's Mike D'Antoni. And, like, that's what makes me feel a lot easier about this. We have an offensive guru in Houston that's going to try and figure all this out this summer. And, you know, who knows? Maybe there are more moves to be made. Right now, this team certainly took a big step up this like today. If you were to look at the title odds last night as compared to today, they certainly took a big spike.
Yeah, I think there's reason to be hopeful about this. Let's see where to start with this. I think the biggest reason to be hopeful is that there's a lot of really good arguments to be made from the D'Antoni and James Harden perspective, also from the you're getting older Chris Paul perspective, that if he's ever going to be receptive to listening to what D'Antoni is selling, it would be now.
Here's the thing about the we're getting older for Chris Paul perspective. Like, there's no risk here for the Rockets. They're only signing him for 2 years, basically. They're not signing him to that long 4-year max that would have happened if he had not opted in. They're only signing him for 2 years, so he'll go up until age 34, and that makes it a lot easier to swallow because Chris Paul can just leave, and that might make it easier for the Rockets. You know, that opens up more cap room, and if this thing goes to crap, they might try trading him. So it's a lot less risky than giving up assets and signing him outright than it is, you know, just trading for him, like the way they do today.
Yep. So that's all super good. I think there's a very real chance that he's going to listen and be part of this offense. I think the Warriors have changed the league. I think a lot more guys' perspectives have shifted. Like, I actually think there's a tangible difference now that guys like James Harden and Chris Paul, after seeing what the Warriors have done, are going to go, well, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't worry about, like, individual stats and stuff. Maybe, like, really we're going to emotionally understand that you have to just go for the win. You have to go for the team health, and we are going to share the ball more. I mean, if they sacrifice, as it were, if Chris Paul and James Harden both say, we're not going to get, you know, MVP, we're not going to get these accolades, we just have to do what we can to win, that offense is nigh on unguardable, and they still haven't finished making moves. And here's a big deal, the Rockets have stepped up in a way which I don't think we're fully comprehending quite yet. We've all been complaining that it's a one-team league, right? That only one team has any chance of doing anything. And Daryl Morey and the Rockets just did the first biggest step to say, okay, well, if you want a second team to compete with them, we will be that team. The Rockets are now the platform on which other stars are going to look and see that is a place to go if we want to try to beat the Warriors. Someone's going to want to try to beat the Warriors. There's a market for this. People are looking for that team that's going to be the challenger, and they've set themselves up incredibly well to be placed as that team. The other stars are going to look for, well, if I'm going to take a minimum, or I'm going to, like, be traded for dollar, you know, pennies on the dollar, et cetera, et cetera, if I want that ring, I should go there. This, I think, is going to be a lot bigger than people realize. That this is now the second best team in the West. Maybe they have a very good chance of being a second best team in the league. And hey, if they get enough players and enough assets, they can make a run at the Warriors. So the sky is now the limit.
Yeah. Speaking of getting more players, I mean, Tim McMahon just tweeted, source on the Rockets, they think they are getting Chris Carmelo Anthony or Paul George. Like, this is something the front office believes is possible right now. And if they can land even one of those guys, Carmelo Anthony through buyout, Paul George through trade, obviously, I mean, that starts to look a lot better for the landscape of the league. Like, I was one of those guys who complained about the power struggle of the league. Like, I didn't like that there was one team who had a realistic chance to win the title every year. And the fact that there might be two, and, you know, maybe three if you count Cleveland, like, that makes it a lot better for NBA fans. I think there is certainly a contingency of hardcore NBA fans that love this move because, you know, although, you know, Chris Paul is not the most liked, well-liked player, and same thing with James Harden, people are going to root for this team simply because people hate the Warriors more. And that's, I mean, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna, and I'm still not necessarily sure if this is gonna work out, but like I'm here for the ride. I'm here for the chaos if it goes wrong. It's gonna make covering this team a lot more interesting. Like even if this team is like hot garbage next year, that it's hot garbage with Chris Paul and James Harden, and that it's gonna make for a lot more interesting storylines going into next season. And yeah, I mean, like, I'm with you, Forrest. The Rockets took the brass ring and ran with it. They didn't care. Like, I mean, Daryl Morey came out after the Warriors won the title in that Zach Lowe piece and said, we're going to up our risk factor. We have something up our sleeves. I think this counts as something up our sleeves.
Definitely. And I just want to jump in and say, Morey also said, like, immediately, it was before he said we have something up our sleeve. He said that the Warriors are beatable, which is not something that people are saying around the league. You know, even the Cavs look like, yeah, we can't beat these guys. We can't beat this team. So Morey just went all in. And I think we have to give credit, obviously, to management, but to ownership, because as we know as Rockets fans, Leslie Alexander just wants to win, and he's going to spend to do it. So right now, the Rockets are trading for all these non-guaranteed contracts straight out of Leslie Alexander's pocket, and that can't be cheap. So it's just a commitment to winning. It's a commitment to shaking the league up, you know? Not conceding the next 5 years to the Warriors. Just throwing a monkey wrench in there.
Well, speaking of monkey wrenches, there's increasingly chatter that, yeah, the Rockets feel pretty confident they're going to get Paul George or Carmelo Anthony. So there's more left. There's more left, guys. This is not the end of it.
You can certainly focus on the offensive end of the floor for this trade. I mean, if you talk about the defense, like, Chris Paul is an all-NBA defensive-level guard. Obviously, you give up Patrick Beverley, but, I mean, you're giving up Patrick Beverley for someone who's just as good, if not better, on the defensive end. The Rockets got better on both ends of the floor today, and that's what's really, really fascinating about this team moving forward, like, especially if they acquire Paul George. Like, and I don't even want to think about that. Like, I'm just happy about where this team is right now, and like it's I'm just happy that we have more to talk about other than the Warriors are going to win it, and like it's grim, and like it's everything's meaningless, and like, you know, the NBA sucks, the playoffs is dead. Like, now, like, the off season's getting going. And I'm happy about it. I'm here for it.
This was going to happen somewhere. See, this is what I think. I think that Morey and the Rockets front office realized that once everyone admitted to themselves that in the league as is, the Warriors are unbeatable, that this is going to happen somewhere. There's going to be a team up. There's going to be a counter super team built. And Daryl Morey wanted it to be in Houston, and hopefully for them it will be. Like, this was going to happen sooner or later, and it was going to happen in one city. And so I think it's great forward thinking. It's opportunistic. This is how you capitalize on luck, yada, yada, yada. This is a vindication of why Rockets fans are so devoted to the front office and general manager of the Rockets, and why whenever other people criticize Daryl Morey, as they're wont to do from time to time, Rockets fans and people who cover the Rockets dismiss them out of hand. This is exactly why. This is the proof for why Daryl Morey is one of the best GMs of the year, and if he does not get Executive of the Year next season, then he can never possibly win it.
They can throw that award away, as far as I'm concerned, if he doesn't win it next year. Especially if the Rockets, like, perform well. And, like, that's a big factor in all this, right? Like, if this move works out, like, Daryl Morey comes out of this looking really, really shiny. And, I mean, let's go ahead and look through his track record. First year, the Rockets, like, in 2012, the Rockets landed James Harden, obviously. 2013, the Rockets landed Dwight Howard. The next year, the Rockets went after Chris Bosh in a gutsy pursuit, you know, trailed out. And, you know, they signed Trevor Ariza and some value contracts instead. And, like, the next year, they went after Ty Lawson. And, you know, obviously that didn't work out. But, I mean, if you look at this franchise's history, like, Daryl Morey isn't afraid to go for it. He's a gutsy, gutsy general manager. I'm going to go ahead and ask you guys, like, Do you think, like, Forrest talked about this a little bit, do you think the we have the Warriors to thank for this, right? Like, do you think that this is a direct correlation to the Warriors? Like, or was this going to happen anyways?
I think it's a direct reaction to the Warriors. But, I mean, Morey is always going to be aggressive, so that's not from the Rockets' side, it's not surprising. But I think from Chris Paul's side, him joining the Rockets of all teams, when, as Forrest mentioned earlier, the Spurs are probably a better fit for his play style, I think that's more reactionary. And I don't know, the Warriors really changed everything up. And I'm thinking we're going to see some more big names move. Gordon Hayward to Boston, maybe Blake Griffin to Boston or OKC or something like that. I just think everyone's going to move, and it is because of the Warriors.
Yeah. And I want to ask for a second about the Paul George thing. Now, apparently it's sounding like it's getting some traction, but obviously it would be very hard for them to make an attractive package. So I want to discuss, like, in what way would that be possible, right? Because there must be some rhyme or reason to it. And from what I've been hearing, it's that, you know, Chris Paul and James Harden have been plying him and making him see the light, as it were, that Houston might be a better place to go than the Lakers. And I think the only hope they have for Paul George is that he would decide, oh, this is the place I want to go. This has the talent. This is where my future can be. And then just tell every other team, I will absolutely not sign with you. That's the quickest way to, like, ensure you get traded to a particular team. I think it's still kind of, it feels like a long shot, but a Paul George trade seems to be more likely now than it was a day ago somehow. And that is just, it's something we need to watch, even though, like you said, it's too much to think about right now.
So let's go to Explorer just a little bit, just because you asked. So a Paul George trade would obviously center around Eric Gordon, right? He's an Indiana native. He's a good value contract, and, like, he makes a lot of the money go through. And I don't know, the Rockets gave up a lot of assets today, like. And that's kind of a low-key thing that Rockets fans don't really care about right now, but, I mean, it's true. Like, they gave up probably their second or third best value contract in Patrick Beverley. They gave up a draft pick next year. They gave up Sam Decker and Harrell, and those are your young, intriguing trade sweeteners that, you know, you probably use in a Paul George trade. So, I mean, pretty much what you have left is your first-round picks after that, and I think the Rockets would be hesitant to trade those because you don't want to end up in a Brooklyn Nets situation if this doesn't work out. You have Trevor Ariza, good value contract. Clint Capella is probably the biggest piece, I would think, in a Paul George trade, like, that the Pacers would demand because, you know, young athletic big could switch really, really well. Rim runner would fit alongside Miles Turner really well because Miles Turner can spread the floor. And, you know, you look around, I mean, there's not much left after that. I mean, you probably have to trade more draft picks than not, and I'm not sure if the Rockets would be willing to do that. It really depends on if Boston's interested in Paul George, as the reporting by Adrian Wojnarowski yesterday. Or no, that was Mark Stein yesterday. Mark Stein's been all over the place. But yeah, Mark Stein reported yesterday that the Celtics are trying to land Paul George and Gordon Hayward. So if that interest is strong enough and they are willing to put all their chips on the table, the Rockets have no chance, right? But if they're still, you know, we're not going to trade Terry Rozier no matter what. Like, if they're still in that mode, the Rockets have a chance, right? And it really depends on where the Pacers are. They lost a lot of leverage by Paul George being this open about going to the Lakers. And it really depends on if other teams aren't going to step in. Like, why aren't the Blazers stepping up? Like, why aren't the Suns putting all their chips on the table? Like, who knows? Like, it just sounds like right now it's the Rockets, the Celtics, and the Cavs. And I don't really see any other team stepping up. So, I mean, I would definitely call them a finalist for Paul George. I'm just interested to see what kind of package that they're able to put together.
I wouldn't be surprised also if the Celtics probably could get it done if they felt like it, but they're like, well, hold on, we want to look at all of our options first. We want to talk to Blake Griffin, blah, blah, blah. Like, Danny Ainge is a guy who likes to weigh all of his options and who likes to win every trade in a big way. So we'll see what happens. There's nothing that would surprise me at this point. This is one of the weirdest and wildest times the league has ever been in. This is like almost on par with the with the formation of the Heatles.
Yeah, I mean, like, it feels very similar, right? You're talking about two top 10 players that are very ball dominant coming together. I would say this Rockets roster is a little bit more ready-made than that Heat team because they have a lot of shooters surrounding Chris Paul and James Harden already. And that third star hasn't came yet. So, I mean, like, it's a little different, but very similar in that aspect.
Yeah. And I just mean, like, in terms of the volatility of the league right now, this is, like, the weirdest, biggest free eight, like, off-season moment since then. Even, like, the KD thing was very big, but he was the only real domino out there. There's a lot of dominoes out there right now, and they're starting to fall extremely early. Most other years, this takes quite a while to happen, and it's just the one big one. Even the year when LeBron went back to Cleveland, that was just the one big domino. So, this is going to get weirder before it gets more normal.
What about Carmelo Anthony? Because I'm not sure how you guys feel about that. If the Knicks buy out Carmelo Anthony, would you be interested in signing him to like a minimum contract or like a, you know, a part of your MLE?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be interested too.
I'll be honest, I wouldn't because that Mike D'Antoni and Carmelo Anthony fit. It still I feel like that's never gonna work out. And like, I mean, like if you're talking about a defensive fit, like the Rockets, it just feels very weird for their style of ball.
But here's my counter to that: with the D'Antoni Melo fit doesn't worry me as much because Melo won't have to be your primary option. Not that he was the point guard with the Knicks, but he won't have to be
the best player.
You know, yeah, he won't have to be the best player. He won't have to be running ISOs. He can. He's a good 3-point shooter. He can create shots for himself. On a small deal like that, I don't see why not. Especially, he can't be worse defensively than like a Ryan Anderson. You know, so I just don't see like a little small ball four. I kind of love that actually.
What about you, Forrest?
Yeah, I think if he's willing to play the way D'Antoni would like him to play and to fit in a system where it makes sense for him to fit, he's a fantastic fit. It's all just about like what he's going to be willing to do. So if you're not going to sign him at full price, if you're going to use an exception to get him, that's actually, I think, a pretty small risk. At this point, you have to take high-risk moves anyway. The Warriors are so good that if you want to win a ring while Harden's in his prime, you just got to go for the swing for the fences move. So, yeah, if he gets bought out and he wants to take a small contract to come to the Rockets, yeah, go for it. He can if he does what Ryan Anderson's doing, he'd be unbelievable.
Yeah, and here's what I'll say. Like, this is kind of why you try to get meetings with these guys earlier in their career. Right, this is why the Rockets were so aggressive in Ryan Anderson. Even though they didn't get him, they established that relationship early, and they were able to get him later in his career. Same thing with Chris Paul. You know, like they weren't able to get him at the time. They got him when they got him when it really mattered. And you know, like you look around like at guys around the league, like the Rockets are always able to get like they managed to get these guys because they have prior relationships with these guys in trying to acquire them. And that's another prop to Daryl Morey. I want to ask you guys, like, does this increase the chance that James Harden will sign another extension this summer?
I actually think it does. I think there was probably a good chance that he was going to sign another extension anyway. For whatever reason, I just think that it feels like James Harden is kind of loving Houston. So I just at the time, I thought he maybe wanted to be, you know, like the primary star for years and years to come. But now it looks more like there's a commitment to winning, which I enjoy. But I wouldn't be surprised if there was an extension at all, and I really hope it happens.
Yeah, I think it would happen like after everything else has already shaken out. But yeah, if anything, it does increase this chance, which would be fantastic. Having increased stability would make this a true dream come true for Rockets fans.
Yeah, and about stability, like let's not forget that Chris Paul opted in to his deal, so he'd be a free agent in 2018. If we landed Paul George on a rental, he'd be a free agent in 2018. So this could just be like a short-term thing. But I mean, I'm always confident, just like the Rockets are, that they can keep these star free agents to stay in Houston even on a rental deal. So, but yeah. there's always kind of that cloud hovering over it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a risk, but it's a risk you take any day of the week. And like, again, like, this is me speaking as someone who was skeptical of the fit, and like, I even thought it was ridiculous not to go after Chris Paul, right? Like someone who, I'm not sure if it's going to work out that well, I still think you go for it, because that's a top 10 talent right there, and you don't get a chance to sign those guys every day of the week. You find a guy that's interested in your organization, that's that damn good, you go for it. And let's go ahead and talk about the on-court fit, because that's something we kind of, we've talked over, but we didn't really get to. So how long do you think before these guys get it together? Because I think it's going to take a fair bit of time. I think it'll take at least 20 games for them to finally get into groove. You know, these guys are obviously both the ball dominant guys. We talked about that before. Harden just got moved to the point guard. You know, Chris Paul's going to have to learn an entirely new offensive system under Mike D'Antoni. And like, James Harden's going to learn to be off the ball more, and that's going to be a challenge for him. Although, like, I kind of think this might be there's a possibility where Harden comes out of this being a more efficient player, and you know, like, instead of having to do so much playmaking and having his 3-point percentage and his field goal percentage go down, like, maybe Harden gets even more efficient in the half court, and maybe Harden becomes that much of a better player because of Chris Paul. And you know, this certainly lowers his minute load, and the idea of having a all-time playmaker on the floor at all times, that's really attractive to me.
Yeah, I think it'll work as soon as they decide it's going to work. Like, as soon as they can get everybody involved on the same page, I think it will not really take that long to figure it out, but getting people on the same page is the hard part. I mean, it's going to be tough to acclimate Chris Paul to a new system, but he is one of the smartest dudes in the league. His basketball IQ is through the roof, so he's going to be able to pick it up immediately.
Chris Paul is smarter than me at basketball. I can certainly say that.
Yeah, I think it's going to work as soon as they want it to. This is, I don't know. Yeah, super teams always take a minute to come together, but also every team is different. And is this a super team? And wait, what are we talking about? What's happening here?
Yeah,
well, I'm excited to see two things with this on-court combo. One, I'm excited to see either guy play a little more off ball, right? Because, I mean, Chris Paul's an excellent shooter, and if he's got a lot of space to work with because James Harden is attracting attention, or vice versa, there's going to be a lot of, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of wide open threes still. So it's going to be that's what I'm excited for. Also, to kind of add to that, Clint Capella is going to get a lot of lobs. So I'm excited for that.
In Indiana? Cool.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. I'm operating under the assumption that we don't have Paul George quite yet. But
yeah.
I'm excited for that, and I'm excited to see hold on, lost my train of thought. That Clint Capella in Indiana comment just threw me off. Yeah, y'all go ahead. I'm going to think about this.
Yeah. If it helps, you were talking about lobs before. I don't know how that would help. Yeah, I mean, like, what I would say is, like, it's kind of tough to get into the fit right now because we still have no idea what the final roster is going to be, right? And that's a really important factor in this. If they do manage to get a Paul George or a Carmelo Anthony, like, that certainly changes this entire dynamic. What I would say is what I said at the beginning of the podcast. The fact that these guys wanted to play together is a huge positive step. It shows right off the bat that they are willing to sacrifice. Now, whether or not they're going to, that's a totally different story. But that the fact that they're willing to, and the fact that they wanted to play together, that's huge, and that's going to help speed up the process quite a bit.
And I remembered the thing I wanted to talk about. Another thing I'm excited for is staggered lineups. There should not be ever a game where Chris Paul or James Harden aren't on the floor at all times, you know? I'm excited to see, like, the offense not completely drop off when James Harden goes to the bench or vice versa.
Yeah, that's pretty scary, right? I mean, that's kind of one of the big strengths that the Warriors have, is that they can always have an MVP on the floor at all times. So the idea that there will always be one of Chris Paul or James Harden running the offense always, that's got to give other teams nightmares, right? Like, how do you ever plan for that? There's never going to be a let up on the offensive end. So, yeah, this the upside of this is unbelievably high. There are concerns about fit for sure. It is a weird fit, but if they can make it work and if they can decide to sacrifice, if they can get their culture under control, this is a ridiculously stacked team. And the fact that it's not the best team in the league yet by a pretty good margin is terrifying.
I mean, they made up some of the margin today, and that's what matters, right? They're like, they took one step forward. Hopefully the Warriors don't get Carmelo Anthony on a minimum deal. Like, hopefully that doesn't happen. Let's go ahead and say the final trade, because David Aldridge just tweeted it out. It's going to be Beverly, Lou Williams, Sam Decker, Montrezl Harrell, Kelly, Liggins, Quarterman, and a 2018 first round pick, top three protected, to the Clippers for Chris Paul.
Yeah, I mean,
worth it.
That's well worth it. Yeah, and he's also picking up that option and not going to be getting like $30 million that he would in free agency. He also has a trade kicker, which he can opt into or out of as he sees fit, presumably to make math work. So yeah, the Rockets are getting a pretty big discount on him, which is a big deal.
Sorry, I got distracted by this. The Trailblazers are the best account on Twitter.
I just saw that too. It's pretty amazing.
So what they tweeted was a GIF saying, "Welcome to Rip City, cash considerations." Like, they're the best. I love teams like this on social media. I lost my train of thought too. Ironically, I was talking about this earlier this morning before this actually all happened. You know, like, the reason this is worth it is because, like, last season, we were debating who the second best player on the Rockets were. Now we know that, and I think that's important, because when you know who your second go-to option is, like, that helps a lot in terms of, you know, building towards a championship. And, like, the fact that we didn't know, like, the fact that we were arguing, is it Patrick Beverley? Is it Clint Capella? Is it Nene? Like, the fact that we were arguing that shows why they should have done this deal any day of the week, no questions. Like, the Rockets, like, although they had a very good team, they didn't have a lot of star power, and they certainly made an upgrade in that department.
I think we're still going to be debating who's the second best player on this team.
Oh. But it's going to be a more fun debate.
Yeah, for sure. but we know who the top two are now, for sure.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, Clint Capella and Nene. I mean, let's go. Yeah, I think we've hashed out as much as we possibly can for a immediate reaction podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at RedNationHoops. You can follow Forrest Walker on Twitter at DoNuts. You can follow George Flores on Twitter at GeorgeCFlores22. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Give us a good rating on iTunes if you enjoyed the podcast. And yeah, guys, good night.